The Longed For Millennium, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3 belongs properly with Revelation 19. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the pit of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. Revelation 20 verse 1 of the Revised Version. This chapter falls into four parts and it covers 1,000 years. Verses 1 through 3, Satan imprisoned. Verses 4 through 6, believers reigning. Verses 7 through 10, Satan loosed. Verses 11 through 15, wicked dead judged. In Revelation 1:18, we saw that the Lord Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. By that we know that he is the angel here mentioned. In Revelation 20, verse 1, we saw that the key symbolizes authority, and the great chain speaks of mighty binding power. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Revelation 20 verses 2 and 3. Revelation 20 verse 2 agrees with Revelation 12 verse 9, showing that the dragon is the devil. When our Lord descends to the battle of Armageddon and overthrows the beast and the false prophet, he will seize hold of Satan and cast him into the pit of the abyss, or hell, and shut him up therein for 1,000 years. Oh, how different the world will then be! The deceitful and destructive spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, stirring up strife, driving men wild over pleasure and mad over money, deceiving the people religiously, that spirit will not be here, thank God. Satan will not be able to stir men's hearts with selfish greed and graft and lead them to slay one another in bloody combats. The nations will not learn war anymore. Isaiah 2 verse 4. Believers will reign. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20 verse 4. In his vision, the Apostle John's telescope carried him forward through 1,000 years. He beheld a miniature picture of the new creation principalities and the reign of the saints with Christ during the millennial period. Evidently, the thrones were of varying splendor according to the different ranks of believers. Special reference is given to them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and had not worshipped the beast. They also lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but not in the same capacity or nearness as the church. Now, question, who are the ones who sat upon thrones? Answer, the armies in heaven, Revelation 19:14. They were the hosts at the marriage of the Lamb. We must distinguish between the armies of heaven and the souls of them that were beheaded. Not all the redeemed will be at that great wedding feast. The souls of those beheaded will not be there. They will witness for Jesus during the tribulation days, after the church has been translated. Their martyrdom will not be counted a high honor bestowed upon them. It will be a chastisement for not having accepted Christ earlier. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Revelation 20 verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished should be read as a parenthetical statement, for it refers to the wicked dead only, not to any believers on Christ. No believing dead will remain in the graves after the resurrection of the saints at the opening of the millennium. Revelation 20 verse 6 declares that blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Saved folks are all blessed and holy, otherwise they are not saved. With the statement, "This is the first resurrection," a second resurrection is implied, but that will embrace the wicked dead only. See Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. The first resurrection really began with the raising of Jesus from the dead, for Christ is the first fruit of them that sleep, 1 Corinthians 15:23. It includes those that arose the day that he arose, Matthew 27, verses 52 through 53. It includes the resurrection of those in the church which are in the graves, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and Old Testament saints, Daniel 12, verse 2. It culminates with the close of the millennium, though no believers will remain in the graves and be raised at the end, but they will be changed. Death will be swallowed up in victory, not only by corruption putting on incorruption, the dead raised incorruptible, but by changing the mortal to immortality without dying, 1 Corinthians 15:54. The mystery, "we shall all be changed," has in it the value of resurrection. To arrest the death tendency by changing our death-doomed bodies into immortality is equivalent to a resurrection, because the entire new creation is dependent forever upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satan released from prison. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8. The devil has always been deceiving the people. Just before the millennium, Satan will climax his deception of the nations through the craft and power of the Antichrist and the miracles of the false prophet. The Battle of Armageddon will be the culmination of national satanic power, Revelation 16. But Christ will descend with his holy ones and defeat him, casting him into the pit of the abyss and the two beasts into the lake of fire. Then, at the close of his 1,000-year imprisonment, Satan will be led out of the pit and resume his infernal conflict against the Son of God, taking revenge for his confinement. He will find a vast horde of people on earth who will have yielded feigned obedience to the Lord during his millennial reign, because in their heart they are his enemies, not being born again, Psalm 66:3 and 81:15. God's foes are one. They are all the children of the devil, John 8:44. Hence, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the national foes of Christ and his people at the beginning of the millennium will be represented by Gog and Magog, and in Revelation 20 at the close of the millennium. Gog was the second son of Japheth. Gog means high, to cover, to surmount, to top. Magog was the land of Gog. Magog means covering, overtopping. Satan is working in men to exalt themselves above God and to go over the top for his satanic majesty. But with him they will finally be hurled to the lowest bottom. That will be the devil's last fiendish combat against eternal righteousness. It will also be man's last chance to show on whose side he stands. The final proof that the mind of the flesh, or natural man, is death, subject to the devil, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. For to be carnally minded, or minding of the flesh, is death, but to be spiritually minded, minding of the spirit, is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, Romans 8, verses 6 and 7. Oh, how solemn! Men have a lifetime in which to choose whom they will serve. They often seem to be on the fence, but fence-sitters invariably finally tumble to the enemy. Present-day fence-sitters will end up with the Antichrist. The millennial reign will consummate in a similar manner, for men must define their position sometime. Sad, sad, the finale. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10. Fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours them, and the devil that deceived them is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. He goes to his own place where the beast and the false prophet are, to receive from the hand of justice what he has been giving to mankind for 6,000 years, that is, to be tormented day and night forever and ever, into the ages of the ages. Does that sound like the devil would be saved, as a few fools have intimated? Christ did not die for the devil. The Judgment of the Wicked. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, verse 11. In Noah's flood the world perished, the inhabitants were drowned. However, the earth was not annihilated, neither were the people, for they must appear before God for judgment. There followed a reconstruction of the earth, see 2 Peter 3:6. What believers experience now, regeneration, Titus 3, verse 5, is what the earth will experience during the millennium, Matthew 19, verse 28. A new earth and a new heaven as compared with present conditions, Isaiah 65, 17. However, the complete renewal of the earth will not take place until at the end of the 1,000 years reign of Christ, when God will exclaim, "Behold, I make all things new." Revelation 21, verse 5. In 2 Peter 3, verse 7, it is intimated that the elements of destruction are pent up in the heaven and the earth, being stored up with fire, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That judgment will begin at the close of this age, then it will be suspended for 1,000 years. At the end of which it will be resumed and finished, as stated in verse 11 of this chapter. Therefore the fleeing away of the heaven and the earth from the face of God as judge teaches us that the whole old creation must pass away forever from his presence. He will have endured it 7,000 years, he will endure it no longer. Inasmuch as men reject the finished judgment that fell upon God's Son in their behalf, there will not remain even a shadow on which to stand before the judge. Hence John declares, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, but they will stand upon nothing. Those will be the wicked dead only. There will be no sainted dead in that company, for they will have been raised 1,000 years before." Note the last sentence of Revelation 20, verse 6. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, the grave, and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. Mark well the meaning and use of these different kinds of books. Another book is distinguished from the books. Hell, Hades in the Greek, is the receptacle of the wicked dead. All the wicked dead for all the past will be raised and appear before God, the just judge. Note two vital facts. They will be judged out of those things which were written in the books, and they will be judged according to their works. The deeds of the wicked during the ages have been recorded opposite their respective names. The judgment of the great will be severer than that of the small, but all will be judged. None will escape. Of course, their punishment will be according to their respective works. Note that the destiny of men is not determined by their works, but their judgment is according to their work, because their destiny was settled beforehand by their rejection of the Savior, for which reason they will not be found written in the book of life. Revelation 20, verse 15. It is wonderful how the Holy Spirit anticipates error. False prophets claim that the wicked dead will have a chance to be saved after death. What chance is intimated here, pray tell? The Book of Life is opened in full view. Search is made in that infallible record by the just judge for the names of the wicked, but not one is found there. If they were written in the Book of Life, they would not be wicked, and they would not have remained in the graves to be raised at the end of the millennium. They will not be judged out of the Book of Life, but out of the things recorded in the books. They will be judged every man according to their works. Revelation 20:12. The sad, inevitable finale is that if anyone was not found, having been written in the Book of Life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. The past perfect tense of the participle written ge graminos in the Greek proves positively that all names in the Book of Life will be recorded long before that final judgment day. Indeed, note, when they were written, Revelation 17:8. The Book of Life will be there opened to prove finally and forever the justice of God in consigning the wicked dead to their deserved eternal abode. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hell, Hades in the Greek, is only a temporary imprisonment of the wicked dead until that great judgment day, after which there will be no more graves and no more hell. The phrase eternal hell used by some preachers is not scriptural. The lake of fire will be their unending abode. This is the second death as distinguished from the death of all men on the cross, for we thus reckon with Paul that if one, Christ, died for all, then all died. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Christ died for all the ungodly, all sinners, all his enemies. Romans 5, verses 6, 8, and 10. God counts man's death with Christ on Calvary the first death. Thank God. Those who accept the first death will escape the second death. Those who admit and accept the judgment of their sins in Christ's death as just shall never come into judgment, the judgment of the wicked, for they will have passed out of death into life when they believed on Jesus unto salvation. John 5, verse 24. God is just. He cannot punish again those who accept their punishment in the depth of his Son. The phrase hell fire, Matthew 5:22, is Gehenna fire. See James 3, verse 6. My brother's keeper. The road was long and the street was wide, while rain was falling on every side. The wind was whistling loud and bold as I wended my way through the damp and cold. And as I walked, there right in my way was a spindly lad that blustery day, carrying a golden-haired baby boy and happily laughing like he was a toy. I stopped to speak in crossing the street. Isn't he heavy, that baby so sweet? No, he's not heavy, he said with a smile. He's my brother. I'll carry a while. Oh, what a lesson for you and for me to help our own brother, whatever he be. We are his keeper midst turmoil and strife. Let us be kinder on the highway of life. Mary M. Bodie.